Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Sukkah, perek Dalet. This perek is the first of three about the laws of Sukkah, in which we are commanded to live for the 7 days of Sukkot. There is one mitzvah in the koteret of these halachot about Sukkah, but in an interesting contrast to Hilchot Shofar, that mitzvah is not even mentioned at the beginning of Hilchot Sukkah, that is, in our perek, or even in the next perek. It only appears in the middle of perek Vav, the last perek about the laws of Sukkah. Our perek and the next one deal with the structure of the Sukkah itself. Perek Dalet is about the walls of the Sukkah and other general aspects of its construction, and perek He discusses the covering from which the Sukkah gets its name, that is, the Schach. Halacha Aleph. Shi'ur ha-sukkah govha ein pachot me'asarat fachim, velo yater al esrim ama, ve'rochba ein pachut mi'shivat fachim al shivat fachim, v'yesh lo lehosif ve'rochba afilu kama milim, hayta pechuta me'asara o mi'shiva al shiva, o gvoha me'esrim ama kolshehu, harei zo psula. A sukkah must have dimensions within a certain range. The height must be no less than 10 tfachim, just under 80 centimeters, or about 2.5 feet, and no more than 20 amot, about 10 meters, or 31 and a half feet. The area of the sukkah must be at least 7 by 7 tfachim, as this is considered by Chazal the smallest area in which a person can fit together with the portion of the table on which he is eating. There is no upper limit on the area of a sukkah, but any sukkah less than 7 by 7 tfachim in area, or of height less than 10 tfachim, or more than 20 amot, is disqualified. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah brings three explanations by different Amoraim why a sukkah higher than 20 amot is psula. And according to the first two of these reasons, there are certain exceptional cases in which even a sukkah of height greater than 20 amot is valid. But as the Magen Mishnah points out, the Rambam quotes no exception to the general rule, which indicates that he accepts the last opinion of Rava, that any sukkah above 20 amot high is psula as a form of dirat keva, a structure of a permanent nature, whereas the sukkah must be a dirat arai, a temporary structure. Halacha bet. Sukkah she'en la shalosh tfanot, psula. Hayu la shtei tfanot gmurot, ze betzad ze, kmin gam, ose dofen sheyesh berochbo yater al tefach, umamido befachot mishlosha samuch lechad mishnei tfanot. V'dayo, v'tzarich la'asot la tzurat ha-petach, mipnei she'en la shalosh tfanot gmurot, u'chvar bay'arnu bihilchot Shabbat, she'tzurat ha-petach, ha'amura b'chol makom, afilu kane mikan v'kane mikan v'kane al gabihen, af al pi she'eno magi alehen. A sukkah without at least three walls is psula. If it has two walls, which meet at a right angle in the shape of a capital L, then the third wall can be just over a tefach long and placed within less than three tefachim of one end of the L. Based on the principle of Levud, which states that a space of less than three tefachim between two objects is automatically considered to be filled, this third wall of just over one tefach assumes a length of four tefachim, which is most of the minimal dimension of seven tefachim from Halacha Aleph for the length and width of a sukkah. This is not quite sufficient by itself, and needs to be supplemented by a tzurat ha-petach. Recall from Hilchot Shabbat Perek Tet Zayin that a tzurat ha-petach is any arrangement of three beams in the form of a doorpost, a vertical one on each side, and a horizontal one above them. The Rambam doesn't explain exactly where this tzurat ha-petach must be set up, and the Rabbeinu Manoach here on the Halacha quotes two possibilities. One is the understanding of most Rishonim in the Gemara, as well as the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that the tzurat ha-petach must be placed along the continuation of the third wall, beyond the one tefach of solid wall placed within three tefachim of the end of the L. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions as to how long this tzurat ha-petach needs to be. One is that it must extend as far as necessary to be even with the end of the opposite wall, that is, the other side of the L formed by the two walls. And the other is that it need only be long enough to make the third wall seven tefachim long altogether. The other possibility quoted by the Rabbeinu Manoach, and the one he prefers in understanding the text of the Rambam, is that the tzurat ha-petach must cover the entire length of the fourth side of the sukkah, which would otherwise be completely open. There's an image file posted with this recording which illustrates the two understandings of this halacha. Halacha Gimel. Hayula shnei defanot ze keneged ze uvenehen mefulash. Oseh dofen sheyesh berochbo arba'at tfachim u'mashehu, u'mamido befachot mishlosha samuch la'achat mishtei hadfanot, u'chshera, v'tzarich la'asot la tzurat petach. Kanim hayotzi mischach hasuka, lifnei hasuka, v'dofen achat nimshechet imahen, harei hein kasuka. If the two full walls of the sukkah are not placed at a right angle, but rather are located opposite each other, then one tefach of actual wall does not suffice on the third side, like in the last halacha. Rather, the third wall between the two full ones must be a board of length just over four tefachim, placed within three tefachim of the end of one of the full walls. In this manner, the four tefachim plus of solid wall, together with the airspace of under three tefachim next to it, makes a full seven tefach wall on the third side. The Rambam requires a tzurata petach in this case too, against the opinion of many Rishonim who limit the need for a tzurata petach to the earlier case of halacha bet. The Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam, but quotes the more lenient opinion as well. Here again, there are two possible understandings of where exactly the tzurata petach must be placed, corresponding exactly to the two understandings in halacha bet, either as a continuation of the partial third wall, or along the empty fourth side of the sukkah. These two are illustrated in diagrams included in the image file accompanying this recording. There's also a diagram there of the last case in this halacha, of kanim hayotzi me'aschach v'dofen achat nimshechet imahen. This means that the sukkah has three full walls, but of the two walls opposite each other, one is longer and one is shorter. The schach extends beyond the shorter wall and covers at least part of the area between the longer wall and the empty space beyond the end of the shorter wall. That covered area is considered part of the sukkah, even though it isn't really surrounded by three walls, because the shorter of the two walls opposite each other doesn't enclose the space. Nonetheless, the valid sukkah is considered to extend even into this area where a condition of sukkah is lacking, and we'll see another application of this principle toward the end of the perek. Halacha Dalet. Defanot shayu divukot begaga sukkah velo hayu magiot la'aretz, im gvohot min ha'aretz shlosha tfachim, psula, pachot mikan, kshera. Hayu ha'defanot divukot ba'aretz velo hayu magiot la'schach, im gvohot asara tfachim, af al pi shen rechokin min ha'gag kama amot, kshera, uvilvad shayu ha'defanot mechuvanot tachat sfat ha'gag. Hirchik et ha'gag min ha'dofen shlosha tfachim, psula. Pachot mikan kshera, tala mechitza shegovha arba'a umashu ba'emtza, befachot mishlosha samuch la'aretz, uvefachot mishlosha samuch la'gag, harei zo kshera. This halacha consists of several cases in which the walls of the sukkah don't cover all the space from the ground below to the schach above. If the walls extend downward from the schach, but end more than three tefachim above the ground, the sukkah is psula. If the walls end less than three tefachim from the ground, the sukkah is valid, based on levud. However, in the reverse situation, where a wall extends upward from the ground, it is a valid wall of the sukkah as long as it is 10 tefachim high, even if it ends many amot below the schach. This is based on the principle of good asik mechitzta. A wall extending from the ground to a height of 10 tefachim is considered to continue upward arbitrarily high. But the Rambam adds a condition for this to work. It must be that when the wall is extended upward, it meets the physical edge of the schach, and there is no need to rely on levud to fill the horizontal gap between the edge of the schach and the extended top part of the wall. The reason, many achronim explain, is that we may not rely on two legal fictions together, of good asik in the vertical direction and levud in the horizontal direction. We may rely on good asik alone, and of course we may rely on levud alone, in a case where the physical wall reaches the height of the schach and is less than three tefachim distant, horizontally, from the edge of the schach. We may also use levud twice within one wall, once on the top and once on the bottom. This is the last case of the halacha, in which a wall of height just over four tefachim is suspended less than three tefachim above the ground and less than three tefachim below the edge of the schach. As long as the total height of the solid wall, just over four tefachim, together with the two spaces above and below, each just under three tefachim, adds up to 10 tefachim, the wall is valid. Halacha hei, ha'oseh sukato bein ha'ilanot, v'ha'ilanot tefanot, im hayu chazakim, o shekashar otan v'chizek otan, ad shalot tia ruach hamtzuya menida, otan tamid, ומילי בין האמירים בתבן ובקש, כדי שלא תניד אותם הרוח וקשר אותם, הרי זו קשרה, שכל מחיצה שאינה יכולה לעמוד ברוח מצויה של יבשה, אינה מחיצה. A sukkah constructed between two or more trees, such that the branches of the trees form the walls, is valid as long as the branches are strong enough not to sway in a normal wind, or are secured in place well enough that they don't sway in a normal wind. The halacha ends with a general rule that a mechitza is invalid if it cannot withstand a normal wind on land, as distinguished from a normal wind at sea, which is stronger, and which a sukkah is not required to withstand. Based on this halacha, many poskim rule that when the wall of a sukkah is made of cloth or some other material which cannot stand on its own, even if it is tied well to a surrounding frame, this should not be relied upon as the wall of the sukkah. Rather, it should be supplemented with horizontal strings or vertical beams placed less than 3 tefachim apart from each other and covering 10 tefachim in height, which qualify as a wall based on levud. We'll return to that case later. Other poskim allow a cloth wall if it is tied firmly enough in place that it doesn't sway back and forth in the wind, similar to the Rambam's psak here about branches of a tree. Halacha Vav says that a sukkah built on a wagon or a boat is valid, as is a sukkah built on a treehouse or on the back of a camel. But the first two may be used on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, whereas the last two may not, because there is an Eser Shvut against climbing a tree or riding an animal on Yom Tov. Halacha Zayin. Sukkah she'en lagag psula. Ketzad, kegon shayu rashei hadfanot dzivukot ze baze k'min tzrif. או ששמח ראש דופן הסוכה לכותל, ואם היה לה גג אפילו תפח, או שהגביה הדופן הסמוך לכותל מן הקרקע תפח, הרי זו קשירה. A sukkah without a roof is psula. This seems obvious, because a sukkah requires a roof of schach, as we'll learn in the next perek. But the case here is one where there is schach, in the form of branches or some similar material, which are leaning either against a wall or against other branches to form a tent or a teepee, a tsrif. There is an illustration in the accompanying image file of each of these possibilities. In both cases, the sukkah is psula, because aside from the requirement of schach, a sukkah needs to have a roof, which is distinct from its walls, and in these cases, the walls and the roof are the same. There are two ways to make this sukkah valid. One is to lift the schach, at least a tefach, off the ground, and fill that tefach with some material which can serve as a wall. In this manner, the schach is no longer a wall, but rather is a roof, as it is supposed to be, because this schach rests on a minimal wall of height 1 tefach. Alternatively, to make the sukkah valid, the bottom end of the schach can remain on the ground, and the top end can be separated from the wall, or from the other schach on which it is leaning, a distance of at least 1 tefach. This tefach must then be filled with some material which is valid as schach. In this manner, the original schach, which had formed the tzrif, becomes a wall of the sukkah, and some other schach becomes the roof. The remainder of Halacha Zayin says that a circular sukkah is valid as long as its area is large enough that it contains within it a square of size 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. In geometric terms, this means that the diameter of the sukkah must be at least the length of the diagonal of a 7 by 7 square, that is, 7 times the square root of 2, or just under 10 tefachim. Halacha Chet. Sikech al gabei achsadra shiyesh la patsimin, bein shayu nirin mibifnim, ve'ein nirin mibachutz, bein shayu nirin mibachutz, ve'ina nirin mibifnim, ksheira. Lo hayu la patsimin, psula, mipnei shi suka hasuya kamavoi, shahare ein la ela shnei tzidei achsadra, ve'emtzai achsadra ein bo kotel, ve'shekenegdo ein bo patsimin. An achsadra, or colonnade, is an open area between rows of homes, part of which is covered by a ceiling, and part of which is uncovered. These halachot discuss a case of using the uncovered part of an achsadra as a sukkah, by covering it with schach. There seems to be a problem, in that there are only 2 walls, namely the parallel rows of homes on each side. What can serve as a 3rd wall between them? For this, we look at the border between the schach and the covered portion of the achsadra. If the covered part of the achsadra has patsimin, doorposts on each side of it, holding up the ceiling which covers it, even if these patsimin are visible only from inside the covered portion, but not from outside, or vice versa, then we may apply the halachic mechanism of pi tikra yored v'sotem, which we encountered already at the end of Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Yud Zayin. This means that the thickness of the ceiling, where it ends, at the border between the ceiling and the schach, can be seen to extend downward to the ground and create a third wall of the sukkah. But in the absence of patsimin, the ceiling is not considered substantial and permanent enough to allow its thickness to qualify as a third wall through the mechanism of pi tikra yored v'sotem. The problem is that there in Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam mentioned nothing about patsimin and allowed the application of pi tikra yored v'sotem to any achsadra at all. Why here in Hilchot Sukkah does he require patsimin? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in his Chidushei HaGram HaLevi on the Rambam, explains that the application there in Hilchot Shabbat is entirely midrabanan. Its purpose is to allow carrying in an achsadra which already has three full walls, and the pi tikra yored v'sotem is meant as a heker on the fourth wall. It does not make the achsadra into a full-fledged reshut hayachid. And the Rambam even writes that one who throws an object from the reshut harabim into this achsadra is putter. But here in Hilchot Sukkah, the application of pi tikra yored v'sotem is midoraita, as a sukkah without three walls is psula on a Torah level. So we conclude that there are two levels of pi tikra yored v'sotem. One rabbinic, which does not require the existence of patsimin, and one midoraita, which does. Halacha yud, sikech al gabei mavoi sheyesh lo lechi, o al gabei be'er sheyesh la pasin, harei zo sukak sheira lo tashabat shebetoch hachag bilvad, mitoch shelechi ze ufasin elu, mechitzot linyan shabbat, nachshov otan ki mechitzot linyan sukkah. There are two types of structures which count midoraita as mechitzot in the realm of Hilchot Shabbat, but do not qualify in general as a wall of a sukkah. Like the topic of the last halachot, both of these structures also came up in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Yud Zayin. The first is the lechi, a column of minimal thickness which can qualify as the fourth wall of a mavoi to make it into a reshut hayachid on a Torah level. This works whether the mavoi has three full walls, or if it is a mavoi mifulash, with two full parallel walls and a tzurat hapetach covering the third wall, between the two full ones and opposite the lechi. The second structure is the pasei biraot, boards set up around a well at right angles on four corners of a square area, with large spaces between the corners. This too makes the area inside it into a reshut hayachid, and one who throws an object from the reshut harabim to the area between the pasim is chayav. Each of these setups, the mavoi mifulash with a tzurat petach at one end and the lechi on the other, and the well with pasei biraot around it, is not valid as a sukkah, based on the halachot we've learned in this perek. A sukkah generally has stricter requirements than Shabbat when it comes to mechitzot, because regarding sukkah, we are not interested merely in enclosing a domain, but also to form the walls of a temporary place of dwelling. Nonetheless, the chiddush of this halacha is that on the Shabbat during Sukkot, just for that one day of the holiday, because these structures are valid mechitzot for Hilchot Shabbat purposes, they are also valid as walls of a sukkah. We emphasize that this din is midoraita, and the rationale seems to be that despite the differences between Hilchot Shabbat and Hilchot Sukkah, as we explained, in both areas of halacha, we are interested in defining a wall. To use different criteria for Shabbat and for Sukkah on the same day would be inconsistent, and so the Torah allows just on that day for the more lenient criteria of Shabbat to suffice in both contexts. Halacha Yud Aleph says that if one sets up poles at the four corners of the roof of a building and puts schach above the poles, this is a valid sukkah, despite the seeming absence of any walls. The reason is that we can apply good asik mechitzta to the walls of the building, and in this way see these walls as extending upward to the schach, above the roof. This case will be important when we compare it to a similar case later in the perek. Halacha Yud Bet. Sukkah sheyesh la ptachim rabim, v'yesh bichtaleha chalonot harbei, harei zo kshera, va'af al pi sheparutz merube al ha'omed, uvilvad shelo yesh sham petach yater al eser, aval im haya ba petach yater al eser, af al pi sheyesh lo tzurat ha'petach, tzarich shelo yeh parutz merube al ha'omed. We mentioned that in general, sukkah has more stringent requirements than Hilchot Shabbat when it comes to walls. But there is one leniency. In Hilchot Shabbat, we require omeid merubeh al haparutz, that the total amount of solid wall exceed the amount of open space between the solid parts. A sukkah, though, is valid even if the walls have many openings and windows to the point of being parutz merubeh al haomeid. However, this is only true if there is no single opening wider than 10 amot. Recall from Hilchot Shabbat that 10 amot is the maximal width of a petach, a doorway. Any opening wider than 10 amot is considered a breach and requires a tzurat petach in order for the entire wall to remain valid. However, the tzurat petach isn't enough in this case to repair the entire sukkah, and now the sukkah as a whole must be omeid merubeh al haparutz. This last point assumes that a tzurat petach is not the equivalent of a solid wall, because otherwise there should be no difference at all between a breach covered by a tzurat petach and a full solid wall. The opinion of the Rambam, as we saw back in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Tet Zayin, is indeed that a tzurat petach is not the equivalent of solid wall. But the Shulchan Aruch accepts the view of other Rishonim, that a tzurat petach counts as omeid, not as parutz, and he rules that if a breach wider than 10 amot is covered with a tzurat petach, then the sukkah is kshera, even if altogether it is parutz merubeh al haomeid. Two closing points about parutz merubeh al haomeid. 1. Most poskim rule that only in the total of all four walls can the parutz be greater than the omeid. But there must be two full walls in which the omeid is greater than the parutz. 2. It must be emphasized that any reliance on levud is not considered parutz, even though in practice there is empty space of less than 3 tvachim. A common method of creating a sukkah wall, which we alluded to earlier, is to use 4 horizontal straps tied tightly at each end to a corner pole of the sukkah, with a bottom strap a little less than 3 tvachim above the ground, and each one above that a little less than 3 tvachim above the strap below it. If the total width of the 4 straps together is a little over a tefach, so that the top strap reaches a height of 10 tvachim from the ground, then this is a perfectly valid wall, and is considered omeid merubeh al haparutz, even though close to 90% of the wall is empty space. This is because, as we said, levud counts as omeid and not as parutz. The next 2 halachot discuss what can be done to remedy a sukkah which is too high, that is, higher than 20 amot. Halacha Yud Gimel talks about elevating the ground level of the sukkah by piling some material there and considering the material to be an extension of the ground. This works if the material piled up on the ground is dirt, or even if it is straw. But in both cases, the person must be mivatel the material there. That is, he must actively think that he is relinquishing this material to become part of the ground. The Mishnah Berurah rules that it suffices to be mevatel the material there for the duration of the holiday, not necessarily permanently. If pillows and cushions are piled on the ground, then even bittul doesn't help. These cannot, under any circumstances, be considered part of the ground, and the sukkah is still invalid because it is more than 20 amot high. If, in this sukkah higher than 20 amot, there are branches sticking downward from the schach to below a height of 20 amot, and these branches provide more shade than there are spaces between them, tzilatan merubah mechamatan, a very important phrase when we discuss schach in the next perek, then they are considered an extension of the schach. Therefore, the interior of the sukkah between the schach and the ground is less than 20 amot high, so the sukkah is kshera. Halacha Yud Dalet. Bana itztaba ba keneged dofen hamtzait al pnei kula im yesh beitztaba shiur rochav asuka kshera bana itztaba min hatzad im yesh misfat itztaba velakotel arba amot psula pachot me arba amot kshera bana itztaba beemtzaa im yesh misfat itztaba velakotel arba amot lechol ruach psula pachot me arba amot kshera uchilu hamechitzot nogot ba itztaba. This halacha consists of 4 cases in which one attempts to rehabilitate a sukkah over 20 amot high by placing in part of it an itztaba, a bench or a raised platform of size at least 7x7 tvachim, from which the height to the roof is less than 20 amot. In all cases, the sukkah is assumed to have three full walls and is open on the fourth side. Illustrations of the first three cases can be found in the image file accompanying this recording. The first case is Bana Itztaba Kineged Dofen Emtzait. The Itztaba is placed against the entire middle wall, so that it touches both side walls too, and thus is surrounded by three walls. This Itztaba is therefore a perfectly valid sukkah. And the Shulchan Aruch, quoting several Rishonim, adds that even the rest of the sukkah, between the Itztaba and the open fourth side, is Ksheira. This is a surprising leniency, as the Schach in that area is higher than 20 amot from the ground. The Mishnah Berurah explains that we think of the rest of the sukkah as the equivalent of the case at the end of Halacha Gimel, where Schach covers an area past the end of one of the surrounding walls. In both cases, a valid sukkah is able to extend beyond the area in which all the conditions of sukkah are met into a place where some condition is missing. The second case in this halacha is Bana Itztaba Min Hatzad. The Itztaba is placed along the inner end of one of the two side walls of the sukkah, so that it is adjacent to the middle wall as well. The problem is that this Itztaba only shares in two walls of the sukkah, not three walls like in the first case. Nonetheless, the Itztaba is a valid sukkah if the distance from it to the third wall, that is, the second side wall, is less than 4 amot. The reason for this is the novel mechanism of Dofen Akuma. The schach from the top of the third wall and extending towards the schach above the Itztaba can be considered an extension of the third wall, as if the wall bends from vertical to horizontal. In this way, the third wall is considered adjacent to the Itztaba, which is now a sukkah kshera because it has three walls. But the legal fiction of Dofen Akuma only works up to a distance of 4 amot from the wall, hence the condition that the distance from the Itztaba to the third wall be less than 4 amot. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the area between the Itztaba and the third wall may not be used as part of the sukkah in this case, as the schach above it needs to be considered wall, not schach, to allow for the use of Dofen Akuma. But the Mishnah Berurah adds that any space beyond the Itztaba, in the direction of the fourth open side of the sukkah, is considered part of the sukkah, just as the Shulchan Aruch ruled in the first case. The third case in Halach Yodalid is where the Itztaba rests against the middle part of the middle wall, so that it doesn't touch either side wall. This Itztaba shares in only one wall of the sukkah, so the only way to make it valid is to use Dofen Akuma on both side walls. The Chiddush of this case is that this is possible, and so if the Itztaba is less than 4 amot away from both side walls, then it is a valid sukkah. As we'll see in the next perek, Dofen Akuma can even be used on all four sides to make an area into a sukkah kshira. The final case in this halacha is Bana Ba'amud. A wide pillar of area 7x7 tvachim is built in the middle of the sukkah, more than 4 amot from each wall, so that Dofen Akuma is not an option. The top of this pillar is invalid as a sukkah, as even though it is less than 20 amot from the schach, it has no walls. Why can't we allow the walls of the amud, of the pillar itself, to extend upward to the schach, based on the principle of good asik mechitzta, like we did in Halacha Yud Aleph, where four beams are placed on the corners of the roof of a building, and the walls of the building are considered to extend upward to the schach? The Rambam explains, Ein elu mechitzot nikarot. Unlike the walls of the building, which function as walls to those inside the building, the walls of the pillar do not surround any empty space. The pillar itself is solid through and through. So these are not recognizable mechitzot, because they don't separate one space from another. And therefore we cannot use the mechanism of good asik mechitzta to raise them higher. Halacha tetvav. Haita pechuta me'asara, v'chakak ba'al ashtima la'asara, im yesh misfat chakak ve'lakotel shloshat fachim, psula. Pachot mikan kshera, shakol pachot mishlosha, harehu kedavuk, kemo shebi'arnu bihalchot Shabbat. There is no equivalent of Dofen Akuma on the floor of the sukkah. The relevant case is as follows. It is illustrated in the very last picture in the image file accompanying this recording. The sukkah is too low, less than 10 tvachim high. someone digs an area of at least 7 by 7 tefachim in the middle of the ground of the sukkah, and the schach is 10 tefachim or more above that dugout area. But of course, this area has no walls. In this case, the dugout area is a valid sukkah only if its edges are less than 3 tefachim from each wall, based on the wood. We do not apply dofen akuma here to consider the floor of the sukkah an extension of each wall up to a distance of 4 amot. That may only be done with schach on the ceiling of the sukkah, not with the ground beneath the sukkah. The last halach of the perek establishes that any material may be used for the walls of a sukkah, in contrast to the schach, as we'll see at the start of the next perek, even utensils, animals, and human beings. The only caveat is that one may not build an ohel arai on Yom Tov, nor on the Shabbat of Sukkot, and so one may not use, even temporarily, a utensil, an animal, or a person as the third wall of a sukkah on the opening Yom Tov or on Shabbat of Sukkot, because the third wall makes the sukkah valid, and this is considered construction of an ohel arai. The Rambam believes that a person may not be used even as a fourth wall on Yom Tov when this person knows that his body is being used in this manner, but the Ravid thinks that this is an incorrect reading of the Gemara. Regarding the validity of any material for the walls of a sukkah, the Ramah adds that it must not be something which smells bad, which would make living in the sukkah very unpleasant, or which will dry out and either fall or blow away over the course of the holiday. These conditions are borrowed from the halachot of schach, and we'll see them at the very start of the next perek.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.